Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
This morning I wanted to share on Romans 8 verse 28. Yes, it is the first slide. Romans 8 verse 28, and it's a very powerful scripture. And we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Last week we spoke about eternal life, and I just want to share something about this scripture. It says, and we know all things work together for the good. Do you believe this? Because this is a reality. I mean, if there's one thing I can testify of my life is this. God didn't promise us that we will not suffer in this life, but He did promise us He will never leave us nor forsake us. And no matter what happens, He will turn it for our good. And this has become a reality in my life. And I was just meditating upon it. What are the keys for this that makes this real in our lives? Not just through experience, but through knowledge. What are the keys of this? And it says there, for those who love God. It says all things work together for the good. You know what? The amazing thing about this is no matter what we face in life, we have confidence. I mean, that's the difference between faith and fear. Whenever we go through a storm, we are tempted to fear what might happen. Or we can have faith that God is good. And even though He has allowed me to go through this storm, this suffering, this insecurity, this turmoil, I know Him. And I know that He loves me. Therefore, I will not be afraid because I know this will be turned for my good. And therefore, as you live this and you experience this and it becomes knowledge in your life, you're no longer afraid when the storms come. Because you know. I mean, it's a great place to live life through this. I often joke with my wife, I call it the fun side of the island. You know Madagascar? For those of you who have kids, you know. Yes. The first one, where they get stranded. And there's this divide of those who are on the fun side or on the Jersey side. Yeah. And I wanted to preach about this, but I was drawn to the keys of this. What makes it real? And it says two things. It says, those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. So there's actually a condition to it. You know, the challenge is we many times preach as if God's love is unconditional. Actually, it's not. God's love is not unconditional. God's promises is not unconditional. It's conditional to our response to His love. I mean, He gives us salvation for whosoever. That's unconditional. It's unconditional in the sense that God extends this invitation of life to whosoever, but it's only for those who accept Jesus. Outside of Christ, there is no life. It's conditional. In me, you have life. Outside of me, you don't have life. So in one sense, it's conditional, but in the other sense, it's unconditional. But again, here's a great promise. But this promise is not for all of humanity. This is for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. If you do not love God and you're not in His purpose, you can't expect this promise. But if you are, it's a reality. So these are the keys. These are two of the keys. And I just want to speak really about one. Last week we spoke about eternal life. And we read in John 17, and this is eternal life, that you may know me. that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you may send. And we spoke about the fact that eternal life is not just for something that's still to come, but for something right here, right now. And eternal life is not life after death. It is life right here. And this life is in the knowledge, the relationship of God. If you know God, you have eternal life. This morning, I want to share about eternal love. There's something about this verse that speaks about the fact that all things will be turned for the good for those who love God. What is this love of God that produces this great blessing? I want to speak about this eternal life. And this morning I want to speak about the eternal love of God. What is this love of God? God's concept of love. God's concept of love is eternal. God doesn't have a temporal view on love. It's eternal. God is eternal, therefore love is eternal. We know that Scripture says that God is love. It's important for us to understand God's concept of love is not temporal. It's eternal. You know, the Trinity is a great mystery. It's part of the mystery of God, the Trinity. But within the Trinity, there is a relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is eternal. That relationship is love. There's eternal love within God. There's this relationship. And you know what? God created man for this very reason. God created man to be loved. Within the Trinity, there is this eternal relationship, this love relationship where the Father loves the Son, and the Son, the Spirit, and the Spirit, the Father, and each other. And there is unity, and there is blessing. And you know, love is not selfish. Love wants to bestow upon the other, and therefore they are three and not just one, because if there was just one, love would be selfish. But it's not self-centered, it is the other-centered. That's what makes love so powerful. And God loves so much that He created us to love us. That's why we created. We created to be loved, but also to love back, because that's how God understands love. It's a mutual relationship of giving to one another. It's eternal. Never stops. That's God. That's the God you serve. That's the God who created you. That's the God you worship. Every morning you wake up, know this, you were created to be loved. Just respond to that. Because in responding to that love, by loving back, the fulfillment of love will manifest in your life. Simple, but it's so powerful. The Word of God declares that God is love as much as God is holy. Because God is holy. He is a consuming fire. God does not change. He relates to us under a new dispensation of grace, but He's still holy. He still loves the same thing. He still hates the same thing. He just relates to us differently. We don't need to approach Him through perfection. We approach Him through Jesus. It's amazing. It's God's grace. We don't need to earn our right to stand before Him. He has already earned it for us through His Son. He has done everything so that we can come to Him without fear. But God did not change. He's still the same God of yesterday. He's still the same God. He still hates sin. He's still a holy God. He's still a consuming fire. But we can approach Him now by grace through His Son, because His Son has paid the price for our imperfection. So we can come to Him. But make no mistake, He still loves the same things and hates the same things. It's just we can come into His presence without fear because He has done it for us. But God's concept of love is still eternal. God is the one true definition of love. And if you study Scriptures, you know, some people say they can't see, they see the Old Testament, God in the Old Testament as an angry vengeance. Yoch, there's lots of love in there. If you just read it. You see both of them there. How it balances each other out, the holiness and the love, how it complements each other. And how God deals with Israel. But God is the true definition of love. God is eternal, therefore love is eternal. He relates. And this is important for us. God relates to love in the context of covenant. God's concept of love is covenant. It's covenant. I love you. This is covenant. This is eternal. This cannot be broken. This is not a contract. This is not conditional. I love you. I bind myself to you, and there's no way out. This is God. This is covenant. You know, he cut covenant with Abram. You know, he made a declaration. I am making a promise. I'm making a covenant. This is me. And you know what? In those days, you know, you took an animal and you cut it in pieces. As you walk through this, in a circle eight, you walk through this sacrifice, symbolizing, listen here, there is a consequence of getting out of this. There is no way out. The consequence of breaking this is death. There's no way out. This is not just a commitment. This is everything. And God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, Abram, but I'm not going to make it with you because you're man and you can fail. So I want you to stand aside and chase away the vultures while I'll cut this covenant with myself for you. Just to show you this cannot be broken. Because this is who I am. God relates to love in the context of covenant. That's why marriage is a covenant, people, please. It's a covenant. It's not a commitment. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. This is it. I tell the guys that come for marriage prep, this is it. There's no ways out here. Sorry. It's called a covenant, not a contract. If you want a contract, go to the magistrate. If you want a covenant, I'll marry you. This is it. God gave us marriage as a reflection. That's Ephesians 5. It's a reflection of something. That's why God hates divorce. It's not because it's a greater sin than anything else, but it does not reflect who I am. I am a covenant God. I love for eternity. Okay, and I'm bringing the two of you together as a mystery, as a symbol of this. A reflection of my love for you and your love for me. I hate divorce because it does not reflect who I am. My unfailing love, my unconditional love, my patience, my mercy, it does not reflect me. I hate it. But I love marriage. Because it's the two becoming one flesh. Whoever God puts together, let no man separate. Because this is who I am. This is who God is. It's not just all or nothing. Covenant. It's everything. That's why God did it the way he did with Abram. Just to show him. Listen, yeah, this is everything. There's no way out here. And you know what? To this very day, Israel is not destroyed. You know why? Not because Israel follows God or Israel do not compromise or Israel is perfect. No, man, Israel is still backslidden, but God will protect that nation. Israel will not be destroyed. It's one of the smallest, most contested, and most violent areas of the world. There's so much hatred towards this nation. Everybody wants to destroy it. It will not be destroyed. Not because of Israel, but because of God. Because God made a covenant. Cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. It's gone. Okay, but I'm getting distracted. God's love is eternal, and it's not. It is a covenant. God demonstrated this. It's not all or nothing. It's everything. God demonstrated this to us when he created us and he gave us everything. He created the whole universe, the whole earth, and it was good. It was blessed. It was abundant. And then God said, I give you everything. It's yours. It's yours. Everything. You know why? Because I love you. And I want to bless you. I want to prosper you. I want you to have everything. With everything, I give you myself. Man, I give you myself, and I will walk with you, and I will be your friend, and I will be with you always. That's God's desire for humanity. That's God's proposal to humanity. I want to give you everything, and I want to be with you for always. It's amazing, God. You know, love is not selfish. It gives unto the other. Love is not selfish, but it protects the other. Love is not selfish. It longs for the other. Love longs for the other. Love is not selfish, but it wants to become one with the other. Love is not selfish. It is jealous. It doesn't want anything to come in between. Love is amazing. But it's also jealous. It's only you and me. It's not selfish. It wants to give. It wants to protect. It longs for the other. It wants to become one with the other. But it's jealous. It wants nothing in between it. In between us, there must be nothing. And we know this. Exodus 20 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Later on, it continues, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Man, I love you with everything. And I long for you, and I want to be one with you. But I don't want anything in between us either. But you know what? We allowed something to get in between of it. We messed it up, didn't we? Here in Genesis 3, we see when the women saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. That's why 1 John 2 verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but of the world." And you know what? We rejected God's love for that. And we messed it all up. We allowed something else to become in between us. To do life differently to what God gave us. We decide we're going to do it my way. You know, Frank Sinatra. You know, hindsight is a perfect science. It was a bad decision. It was a bad choice. We know that. Look at this world that we live in now. Hate, war, rape, sickness, death. Sin. We got out of this love relationship and we suffered the consequences. But because God loves us so much, He gave us everything again. He said, "You know what? I'll give you my son, my only son. It's everything I've got. I'll give it for you again." I want to love you. I'm going to give you everything again. I'm going to give you my son. It's all I've got. It's the most precious thing I have. I'll give it for you. This is eternal. This is a covenant. This is love. Love that is not selfish, but it gives to the other. Love that is not selfish, but it protects the other. Love that is not selfish, but it longs for the other. Love that is not selfish, but it wants to become one with the other. Love that is not selfish, but is jealous. It's only you and me. It can be nothing between us. We all know the first commandment, don't we? I'm so grateful for the church I grew up in. I heard it every Sunday. Jy sal die Here jou God lief hê met jou hele hart, met jou hele siel, met alles, né? Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. As a matter of fact, from verse 1, but I'm just going to read from verse 4. It speaks about this first commandment. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength." Everything. Everything. "And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You should talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on your foreheads between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so it shall be that when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill. Wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you have eaten and are full, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and you shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you, for the Lord your God is a jealous God amongst you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God is aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep his commandments, the commandments the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the land which the Lord God swore to your fathers, and cast out all the enemies before you, as the Lord has spoken." You shall love God with everything. It starts off with this thing. The Lord God. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." It's part of this mystery of the Trinity. Why one? Why does God say he's one if he's three? Why one if you're three? Because they are one with each other. The Trinity is one with each other. And God wants us to become one with him. And why one? Because in one, there's no space for another. There's no space for someone else. So God say, in my relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are one. And I want you to become one with us. So that there's no space for another. Because my love is eternal. It's everything. And I want you to become one with us. Listen to John 17, verse 20. Jesus prays, and he says the following: "I do not pray for these alone, his disciples, but also for those who believe me through their word." Who's this? This is us. "That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world might know that you have sent me and have loved me as I have loved you. No wonder Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. For they will either hate the one and love the other, or they will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. There's only place for one in this relationship. That's why Jesus said in John 1 John 2, he said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because the Father only loves one. He doesn't understand this compromise. He doesn't understand this one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. He doesn't understand this. This is not who he is. I've given you everything. Why are you not giving me everything? Why have you have this adulterous affair with the world? Why? What more can I give you? What more can I show you? How more must I humble myself to the point of death, naked on a cross, along a highway? What more must I do for you? My love is eternal. It's everything. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, it's powerful. He talks about two loves instead of one. That's 1 John 2. It's two loves instead of one. I love you with everything, and I want everything of you. And I don't want to share it. That's gone. I don't want to share it because I love you. Is there any married man here that wants to share his wife? Anyone? Because you love her with everything, don't you, John? I said you love her with everything, don't you, John? Amen. Yes, amen. I know you didn't hear me the first time. He did. Okay, that's good. It's not for your wife that I repeat the question. It's not for you. God doesn't want to share you because he loves you. He doesn't want two loves. He wants one. There can be only one. Hey, there was a movie, eh? What was it? The Highlander. Who of you still remember that? There can only be one. It's an off movie. So, as you don't know, you can't look where it's going. But if you do remember this movie, maybe you should go out and kill all the others. Just like in that movie. Because there can only be one. Maybe you should go out and kill all the other gods, all the other loves in your life, all the other compromises, all the other things. Because you know what? There can only be one. But if you have this one, if you have this one, you have everything. And even when you suffer, it will be turned for your good. For those who love God. It's the amazing thing about God. Alvin spoke about it. You can't have dual nationality. In God's love, there can only be one love. But if you are in his love, and he's the only one, and how, it's by embracing his son. which is the sacrifice made for you and me. It's the purpose. God's purpose for us is salvation. To be free, to come to Him. Free not to do whatever we want, but free to follow Him. That's God's purpose. It's a new covenant. It's not a new contract. It's a new covenant. This time, I will do everything like I did with Abram. I will do everything. You can't keep it. So I gave my son for you. You can't earn it. You can't achieve it. So I will do it. I will send you my son so that we can be one. If you enter this new covenant, this new love, you enter into a different dispensation that no matter what happens, He will turn it for your good. It's a new dispensation of a relationship that gives, that protects, that longs for, that wants to be one with you, and is jealous for you. And we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Hey man, it goes on. It goes on to say, and what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, I want to declare to you this morning, God loves you. And He's jealous for you. And if you love Him, all this is true. It's real, man. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that You've come to give us life, eternal life, and that life is found in Your Son. God, we have all turned away from You. We've all strayed. We've all sinned. We all fall short. But You loved us so much, You gave everything again so that we can have life again. God, I pray that we will not take it for granted. The sacrifice You made for us, Your love for us, Lord, I pray that it will motivate us. It is Your goodness. It is Your goodness that leads us to repentance. It is Your love for us. And when we see, when we understand, when we grasp more of it, it only leads to two things. We fall on our knees and we can only worship You. So who are You? Who are You, God, that You love us so much? You're willing to give everything for us. Even when we were still enemies. And your heart longs for us. It longs for you. It wants to give. It wants to protect. It wants to be one with you. And this morning, God, not angry, not frustrated, but just loving, yearning. He's saying, I am jealous for you. Let go of the things that's between us. And come away with me. Come away with me. I want to give you life. It's not found in this world. It's not found in the things of this world. It's found only in me. Come away with me. I want to give you life. I just want to give you an opportunity, just where you're seated, just to respond to God's invitation. Just in your own heart, your own words. I'm not going to call anybody forward. Just want to give you an opportunity to speak to Him. All the eyes are still closed. Maybe you hear this morning and you've never given your life to this God that loves you so much. You've never responded to say, but God, I want to give you everything. You've given me everything. Today I want to give you everything. If that is you this morning, just want you to respond to God by just raising your hand. Say, God, I want to give you my life. It's not a token. It's everything. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? Just respond to Him. Just say, God, I want to give you my life. I want to give you my life. I want to give you everything because you gave me everything. If that is you, you can drop that hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Just respond to God. Say, God, I want to give you my life. If it's you, just raise your hand. Just higher that I can see it. Father, I want to thank you for this one life. This one life, because heaven is rejoicing over this one life, because everything that you've given is worth it for this one life. This one life. Heaven is rejoicing and you're saying it is worth it. It is worth it for this one man's soul. Because I love him. I want to give. I want to protect. I long for him and I want to be one with him. And today we are You are mine, and nothing can separate you from me again. Father, I thank you for that one life. Jesus said, heaven rejoices over one soul more than the 99 righteous that needs no salvation. It's a great celebration today. Father, for the rest of us, God, I pray that we will go and destroy all our idols, all our mistresses, all the things that comes between you and me. We'll go end it. Not because of fear, but because of love. Because you've given us everything. So we will give you everything. Lord, I thank you for a oneness that will grow in us. And it will spill over to one another. And we will not just be one with you, we will be one with each other. And it will not just be in this church, it will be with the other churches, not just Shofar churches, but all the churches. With our people that are one with you, we will become one with them. Lord, I pray this for this town, Lord. I thank you for what you're already doing in us as your church in this town, how you're bringing us together and you're knitting our hearts, pastors, dominees, apostles, prophets. How you're drawing us together, Lord, I pray that you will continue to do that in our nation as you are drawing us to become one. Lord, I think of the 22nd where you're drawing your people to one place. To one place, to come together as one, to call on you. Oh, you desire, you long for that. All your people to come together in one place, in one accord. If my people, were called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Lord, we declare you are good God and nothing is impossible for you. We're going to ask you to heal our land, God. The hatred, the rape, the crime, the violence, the wars. Lord, we're going to pray and we're going to ask you as one. Because you are a good God and nothing is impossible for you. We're going to end off with a song. I don't know which one, but Carmen, you choose. Let's just worship this God that is so jealous for us. That longs for us, that wants to be one with us. And then we're going to dismiss the meeting.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.